So we're looking at Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at verses, three short verses, which I'm going to preach out of this morning, 3 to 5. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Just before we go into the last two verses of that, verse 3 talks about, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. And I just want to qualify that. That is not saying that you should not think highly of yourself. That's not what it's saying. It says, don't think more highly of yourself than you should. In other words, if you're the foreman, you're not yet the CEO. Now, you might be destined to be the chief executive officer of that business, but at the moment, you're the foreman, so work in that role, do your job well, and your boss will see your good works and promote you. So it says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. Hear the word of the Lord for you this morning. You should think of yourself highly because you are a child of God. You should. Hello, someone out there? You should think of yourself more highly. I'm a child of the living God. I'm in the kingdom of God. I'm a prince in his kingdom. And you women are princesses in his kingdom. So please, don't misunderstand that verse, one of the most misunderstood verses in the Bible. For just, verse 4, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, we're all different, thank goodness for that. Isn't it good to know that not everyone is like you? Isn't that great to know? So in Christ, we though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We are called, folks, to live in community. I preached the first of these two messages last week to show us from Scripture that believers were not only called first to believe, but having believed, that we're also called to belong, meaning we are to connect in to the body of Christ or the local church, wherever you happen to belong. And Hebrews 10, just recapping, when Paul wrote to the Hebrews, he was writing to a group of believers, of Christians, who faced with increasing opposition. They were in danger of abandoning their faith. Opposition has that way of doing that to you, does it not? It causes you to question a few things. And Paul reminded them that salvation is through Christ alone, that the priority of the gospel to impact the sinner's life was first an appeal to our spiritual need, first and foremost. In other words, their believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ was and is foundational to their faith, and it is today for us too. But Paul didn't stop at this thing called believing. He also declared that anyone who puts their faith in Jesus Christ will not only be justified before God. That word justified is the Greek word that means to be made right before God. I can come as a sinner, and I am a sinner. I can come before God with my sin, and I can lay it at the foot of the cross and know that I am justified. And I can walk away from that cross knowing that I am free from the weight of that sin. Because Jesus Christ paid the penalty on my behalf, hence why he's not on the cross anymore. He won that victory over sin and death. Now he sits at the right hand of the Father. And how about this? And he lives in you. How about that one? Amen, Dee. Amen. So Paul didn't stop just at believing. He also declared that we also are welcomed into a family, and not any family, but God's family. This is God's family. And right through New Zealand this morning, I suspect there's a whole lot of other members of God's family meeting together in their whānau, just like we are. And not just any family. See, God's family is expressed in the gathering together of God's children. That's known as the local church. That's us. We are his children, folks, and children belong in a family. Ephesians 2:19 says this, you are members of God's very own family, citizens of God's country. Excuse me. And you belong in God's household with every other believer. That word household in the Hebrew language is a reference to the place of corporate gathering. By extension, it means family, clan, and tribe. The house then is the place where the family of God, the body of Christ, is to gather together in corporate worship. That's the church, folks. And in my opinion, apart from Jesus, the greatest gift that God gave us was the church until Christ returns. That's this gathering of people right here. So this morning, given that we are putting on a lunch after church for a whole bunch of new folk who have connected here with us into this family, following on from last week, believers are called also to live in community. We're called to live together in community. So let me give some backdrop to this. You know the Kiwi culture, our Kiwi culture, for all of you South Africans that are here, this might be news to you. But in the Kiwi culture, we have this kind of thing that by nature we are kind of can-do people. Let me explain that. You know, when New Zealand was colonised way back early 1800s, when all of that started, the whalers and the sealers and all of that kind of thing, they were a pretty enduring and resilient bunch of people back in the day. And given New Zealand's isolation, this mostly rugged terrain with the bush and all that, these folk carved out a living under very trying, under very, very difficult circumstances. Have any of you ever been to the gold fields, the old gold fields in central Otago or along the west coast of the South Island? Put your hand up. Whole bunch of you. Well, the rest of you, go and have that experience. It's phenomenal. The old gold trails, you know, way back in the day. And you will see the conditions that these pioneers lived in and they worked in. You'll go and see what they actually had to deal with to actually make a living and what they managed to achieve in trying conditions, scant resources, limited technology. It was simply amazing. And they did it with this can-do, whatever-it-takes kind of attitude. Well, that's our early history in the 1800s. Then if you fast forward to the early 1900s after the Second World War, First World War, when did it finish? 1918. After the First World War, there wasn't a lot of work available for our returning soldiers. So the government opened up huge parcels of land, particularly in the South Island, in the High Country. And they opened this land up to these men who were coming back looking for work. There wasn't a lot going on. And gave them these parcels of land and hopefully for them to go and break it in and to make a living for them and their family and hopefully something for the country as well. But massive tracts of land. I remember as a young fella going up to the headwaters of the Rangitata River in the South Island. That's in the Canterbury High Country. The headwaters, going up there hunting with my mates on this massive farm, 15,000 acres. And that was a small one. Mesopotamia Station, just down the road, was more than that. You know Molesworth Station, the one north of Canterbury and south of Marlborough? Do you know how big Molesworth Station is in the High Country? Just under 500,000 acres. This one farm. And the government, all of those, that land was broken in by a lot of ex-New Zealand soldiers who had come back after the First World War, had no work, and the government said, you go and make a living for yourself and you can have that land. Now, we're talking about land. It wasn't green grass. They were all hills with rocks and matagauri and all thistles and all that kind of stuff. But they went out there and they made a life and they made a living for themselves, provided for their families. And they did it with a combination, I believe, of sheer hard work and this kind of can-do mindset. I was having lunch with another pastor from Porirua on Friday, another church, and he actually used that phrase. I wasn't talking about this, but he talked about that kind of Kiwi. He used this phrase, and I thought, oh well, that's a reference for Sunday. It's a word from God to speak it. There it is. So there's confirmation. This kind of can-do mindset. Have you heard the Kiwi phrase? New Zealanders will know this mostly. New Zealand was built on number 8 wire. Yep, a lot of you know that, eh? Well, it's an accurate analogy. You see, they didn't have much back then. Very little support. But they occupied the land and they made themselves a life and they made themselves a living under those conditions. I'm of the opinion that our can-do attitude is due in large part to what these guys and girls did way back then. It's kind of in our DNA now. And some of which I think we have lost. But that's another conversation. And they should be admired for what they did and what they achieved. Would you agree? The downside, however, the shadow side to that is that way of life also builds a strong sense of independence. Independence has its place, church, but here's what I want you to hear. A culture of independence is not the culture of the kingdom of God. It simply isn't. The culture of the kingdom is built not on independence, but on interdependence. What we are doing right now, coming together, worshiping together, connecting together with all of our faults and our failings, but coming together as one body under the banner of Jesus Christ. God's word consistently tells us that we are beings that have been created for fellowship, for relationship, formed for fellowship. That's the koinonia, the Greek word koinonia. It actually means close association between persons and by extension, participation, sharing, contribution, and gift. That's what koinonia means. That's what we're doing this morning. This is koinonia happening right before your very eyes. You know what that means? That means that I'm a gift to you and you're a gift to me. We're a gift to each other. That's how God set it up. Let's read together Romans 12:5. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the others. I'm accountable to you, and you're accountable to me. There is a sense there where we absolutely need each other. Our culture tries to tell us that we don't need each other, that we can go it alone. I want to say to you this morning that is simply not true. That is actually a lie from the enemy. God made us for community. Let me give you a bigger idea. You cannot fulfill your life's purpose on your own. You can't do it by yourself. It's actually impossible. God wired us in such a way that we can only fulfill His purposes for our lives in community, in His family, in relationship to each other. The bottom line is we need each other. Let's look at what that actually means for us today then. And I just want to acknowledge for this message some of this material that I've gleaned from Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life. So the Bible gives us 5 reasons why we need each other. And number 1 is simply this. I need others to walk with me. How many of you are in that group? I need others. I need you to walk with me in this life. Colossians 2, 6 and 7 says to us, just as you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, so walk with me. Walk means also to live in Him. So it's not only living in Him, but He's living in us. There is this symbiosis going on, this symbiotic relationship. It's not a one-way street. We are in this together, Jesus Christ in you and you in Him. In fact, this journey through life is a spiritual walk of faith. But how many of you would be honest enough to say that on your own, sometimes your faith will wax and wane? There are times in your belief, and your belief system will be challenged. And you know, what do I do with this? Well, if you haven't got good people in your life that you can connect with them and say, help me to navigate this, help me to understand this, chances are you're going to crash and burn. You're going to be lost in that world out there. Stay connected. Stay connected. We need people to walk with us. In fact, the New Testament, we're encouraged to walk in the light, to walk in love, to walk in obedience. We're to walk in wisdom. We're actually to walk as Jesus walked. And what that tells me, church, is simply this. God never intended for us to walk through this life alone. Never. You won't find that in the Bible from Genesis through to Revelation. We were never meant to walk alone. We were meant to walk together, Mac, with each other. We were designed to walk through life in community. Now, you might be thinking, well, what's wrong with me walking alone? Well, the problem with that is this. When you're walking alone, you're not learning the value of participation and cooperation, the koinonia. You're not learning that. You're not learning how to support and contribute. And I'll tell you what you're also not learning. You are definitely not learning how to love. There's a reason why God put people with people. For a start, it's safer. Have you ever had to walk alone at night? It can be quite frightening. Yep, been in that situation many times. It's a lot safer when you walk with others and you've got others walking with you. Not only is it safer, it's also a whole lot less risky. Next year, Christine and I are planning to go overseas on sabbatical. We're going to go to a couple of countries that probably you wouldn't bother going to, but I can assure you she will not be walking outside on her own at night. I will be there with her, and she will be there with me. It's also supportive. When other people are walking with you, they help keep you going. I shared the illustration last week, I think, in that message of migratory birds who fly together. They fly united, and that wasn't a plug for United Airlines either, by the way. But they fly united, especially geese. And scientists have worked out that when they fly together in a V formation, their flight range increases by 71% when they fly together. So you see, flying united, they've worked out, ensures that the youngest, the oldest, the weakest, everyone makes it to the destination, whatever their destination is. It also tells me that migratory birds are smarter than some Christians. There's an old Zambian proverb that says this, when you run alone, you run fast. But when you run together, you run far. You see, life's not a 50-meter sprint. Life is a marathon. And if you want to finish it well, you need other people in your life to make it. You need them. Having other people in your life is also smarter. You'll learn a whole lot more going through life in community than doing it outside of community. And I'm not here just talking about casual friends. I'm talking about a kindred spirit, having close friends, best mates, best buddies, people that you can rely on, people that accept you just as you are and still love you and will still be there, even when you make a mistake, even when you do things that are not quite right. They're still there with you because they believe in you. Not necessarily what you're doing, but they believe in you. I'm talking about that kind of friendship. It's smarter. It's true fellowship. Proverbs 28:26 says, only fools trust what they alone think is right. In other words, if I'm the only one who believes it, I should be asking myself, what if I'm wrong? What if I'm actually wrong about this? And you're not going to know that unless you've got other people who you can trust to speak into your life. Other people who are going to walk that journey with you. So hang on a minute, Paul. That's not what the Bible says. Oh, doesn't it? And we have a korero about that and we talk it through and they help keep me on the straight and narrow. You see, while we wait for Christ's return, I believe God has given us two groups of people. There's the biological family and then there's your spiritual family, what we have here. And we all know that our biological family doesn't last. They pass away or they move away. But your spiritual family, that's your community of faith, that's your local church. They've been given to help carry you into eternity. Did you realize that? The body of Christ, they've been given to each one of us to connect them together. So as one body, that flying in V formation, we will all make it to the destination, which is eternity. Eternity with Christ, eternity with each other. In last week's message, Hebrews 10:25, I said this, let us not give up the habit of meeting together. Instead, let us encourage one another. Everyone needs encouragement, and clearly, encouragement is the result of meeting together in community. That's what the Bible tells us. So I need others not to walk with me, but others to work with me. You know, there are many things that other people help us to achieve. Without their help, we would never have accomplished them. Ecclesiastes 4:9, two people are better than one because they get more done by working together. You know, a snowflake on its own, if a snowflake lands on your hand, within about 3 seconds, it will melt away. That's true. On its own, it's frail, it is fragile. But you get a whole pile of snowflakes together and they can stop traffic. I love what Paul says about community in Galatians 6:10. Every time we get the chance, let us work for the benefit of all, starting with the people closest to us in the community of faith. That's the church. So I need people to walk with me. I need people to work with me. The third thing is I need people that are going to watch out for me. Could you get me some water? Watch out for me. You know, it always intrigues me, advertising. Do we have any advertising experts here? People who got a degree in advertising, that kind of thing? Well, it's an interesting vocation, I'm sure. I'm sure it's got a lot of good things about it. But, you know, most if not all advertising gives the subliminal message that it's all about me. It's all about my needs, my interests, my rights. Life is all about moi. Now, that would be okay if we were meant to live independent and alone, but we're not. We're meant to live in community. We were made for community. That's why Paul says in Philippians 2:4, look out for one another's interests, not just for your own. If you're like Christine and me, when we go on vacation, we go next door and ask our neighbor that we're heading away. Would they look after the mail? Would they just check on the house and make sure that everything is okay? In fact, it was really interesting. A couple of years ago, I was going in for, thank you, darling, I was going in for an operation. And Christine was taking me very early in the morning to get lined up with the rest of the other people, walked out with all my gear to get into my car, and there's a big clear space in the driveway where my car was. Someone stole it that night. I did get it back eventually, by the way. They stole my car. Now, here's my point. Imagine that happened while we're in the house. Imagine what could happen when you're not in the house. So we have people that we need to watch out for us. To look out for us. So would you agree that at a very practical level, it makes sense to have someone looking out for your stuff? Would that be a smart thing to do? Absolutely. But let me ask you this. Do you have anybody looking out for you spiritually? There's the answer right there. Was that a yes or a no? That's the problem. Was that Siri, was it? That was your Bible, yeah. Yeah. Do you have anybody? You might have someone looking out for your stuff, but are they looking out for your soul? Are they helping you on that journey? You know, great question, isn't it? And I ask that, church, because when we finally leave this life, at that moment in time, you're going to realize that your soul is more important than your stuff. Hello, everyone out there. I need people to walk with me, to work with me, and to watch out for me. Number four, we'll get there very quickly. We need people to wait and weep with us. We need people who are going to be there when we get bad news. You know, as a pastor, and Jeremy's exactly the same, I feel this really poignantly and quite deeply because I meet people pretty much every other week, and Jem's probably the same. People that are going through a difficult situation or something's just come at them in life which they didn't expect, and you sit down with them and you journey with them in that thing. Sometimes you weep together because that's what's required. That's what's needed. People need to know that there are other people around there who are going to weep with them when they cry. The Bible talks about that. When we have a joyous occasion, let's celebrate together. But when we weep, let's mourn together. When we lose a loved one in the life of our church, we have this thing called a funeral. The funeral is not for the person that's just passed away. Do you realize that? It's actually for you and I, the ones that are left behind, so that we can weep together, so we can mourn together. It's actually a healthy thing to do that. There are many situations that nobody should have to go through alone. And if you're not in community, the chances are that you will face them on your own. Don't be one of them. Become part of your local church community. If you're a Christian, you need to be in there. That's where you belong. Now, there's one other reason why we need people in our life. Thank you. We need others to witness with us. I've said this before. You know, your faith might be personal, but it was never meant to be private. Your faith story is unique to you. And God wants you to share it with anybody who will listen. Don't try and ram it down someone's throat. Please don't pick up your Bible and hit them on the head with it. There's no transfer of goodness that goes in that action. That's the worst thing you could do. In fact, they might retaliate. But if they're willing to listen, share your story. Tell them what Jesus has done in your life. It's not about being perfect. You're not going to be perfect. It's about being honest. This is what God has done for me. You know, in that area there, God has done this amazing work in my life. But you know that area over there? Still working on that one. Yeah. Work in progress over here. But that one there, got that one nailed. God has done a miracle. Share it with them. Let them know. Now, that can be scary. I know that. That's why. I made this decision early on as a Christian. Haven't been a Christian all my life. I was 28 when I came to faith. But I figured out really early on that there is no point me arguing about my faith with anybody. I'm never going to argue. I will discuss. I will sit down and have a good conversation. We might even disagree, but I will not get into a bun fight with anybody about my faith. I'll let God deal with that. But I will talk with anybody who's willing to listen. They don't have to agree with me, but if they're willing to listen, I'm going to share my faith. I'm going to give them the whole unembellished story, the whole deal, how God turned it all around, and I'm going to share all of that. And we need to be able to do that. And sometimes you need other people with you to help you in that endeavor, to witness with you and alongside you. Hey, Cam. That's why we need other people. When it comes to sharing your testimony, understand this, folks. When it comes to sharing your testimony, they can disbelieve you. They can reject what you have to say, and they can ridicule you if they like. But here's one thing that they cannot do. They cannot say to you that it did not happen. Because that's your story. And if it's true for you, it's true for you. They can't say it's not true because it's your truth. Share it with them if they're willing to listen. Here's a question for you then. Is anybody going to be in heaven because of your witness, your story, your testimony? We need each other to walk with us, to work with us, to watch with us, to wait and weep with us, and to witness with us. Living together in community is infinitely more powerful force than living isolated outside of community. Romans 12:5 again. Let's read this together. Let's read it together. So in Christ, we though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Jim, can you bring the music team up, please? That tells me, folks, that I need you, you need me. That tells me that without you in my life, I am worse off. I'm a lesser person without other people in my life. That tells me that together we can achieve so much more than if we are alone. We're going to do great, are you, Lord? So just get ready for that. So I've got a couple of questions for you folk this morning. Who this morning in this church is going through a difficult time? Don't put your hand up. If that's you, in your heart you would say, yep, that's me. Well, let the community of believers here gather around you and encourage you. Let them pray for you. Let this body of people ask for God's divine enablement on your behalf. You don't have to ask for it. Let them do it. Let them gather around you. Psalms 55:22 says this, cast your burden on the Lord. Give it to him and he will sustain you. Get the body of Christ around you this morning to pray into that particular situation. Let's see what God can do. Who's facing a health issue here this morning? How many of you are in that situation? Well, let us support you with prayer and practical help if that's what's required after that as we go into this week. Who's feeling low in their spirit? David says a crushed spirit, a low spirit dries the bones. Let's support you in prayer. Let's gather around you to encourage you, to inspire you, to build you up again. Steve Church, that's the power of community. And you won't get what the church, the body of Christ, offers anywhere else. But you'll get it here in community. And sometimes, folks, that just means being vulnerable. It means actually getting past your fear, looking past your, that you think everyone's watching you, which they're not, by the way, but that's what you think. It means doing that sometimes. It means, as our dear friend says, crossing the chicken line and just trusting that God's got this with you. That's what it means. But if you stay isolated in your little bubble, your little world, what's going to happen then? We are the body of Christ. Please stand. We are the body of Christ. We've been put together. We're fitted together, knitted together. And everyone belongs to the other person. That's the power and the value of the local church.